So firstly, Tatiana, thank you so much for doing this episode. Really appreciate it. Now, am I right in calling you a total badass when it comes to extreme events such as, let's see, Spartan events, Spartan Ultra events, and endurance events as well?
Honestly, I don't know, because you mentioned before that you asked a few people, they confirmed. I mean, if people think I'm a badass, okay, I'm fine.
Absolutely. I think even the elite.
When I'm at different events, I don't know. I don't think I have many people who actually know me. But when it turns out, yeah, I'm happy. Like, you know, if because like I don't have that many followers, let's say, on Instagram. So that's why it's like, yeah, there are not too many people who know me. I mean, there are people who are a lot more, well, let's say, famous, right, than me. Yeah. But if some people know me and I don't know, like they following me, but I don't know about that. And if I'm inspire them in some way, then I'm very happy with that.
I definitely think so, you know, in the top 10% and in the competitive world, you know, it's really glad to talk to you. And I definitely want to know more information about you yourself and really appreciate, you know, you taking your time, sharing your information. Now, in the world of obstacle course race and trail running in the Mendo region, I definitely do think, you know, you're in the top 10%. Now, before we get started in today's episode, Tatiana, just wanted to check, you know, how has your day been so far?
Honestly, a little bit stressful because of some work issues and others, because 2 weeks ago, I finished one of the hardest and toughest and the most brutal races I've ever done in my entire life. It was Diagonal du Fou at Reunion Island. And so it's week two since I finished. I'm still recovering. And, you know, for the, I'm sure that's for every single amateur athlete. I'm not talking about pros. Those are different kind of people. Like for most of amateur athletes, recovery is the worst part. It's even worse than tapering. It's basically the time when you have to rest. You have to stop doing everything you did before. And like, just imagine, right? You spent, let's say, like 3 months getting prepared for the race. Day to day, every single day, training, 2-3 sessions per day. You're super active. You're super focused on the race. And then race passes and boom, silence. And you are not allowed to do anything. And, you know, maybe like mentally, yeah, I want to go back on the track. I want to start running. But I know that my body is still completely down, completely. So that's why it's a little bit stressful time, because, you know, there are not too many things that I can do these days.
Yeah.
So I just have to patiently focus on bringing my body back to normal.
See, I 100% agree to it, because I watch a lot of UFC or MMA, and one of the top pound for pound athlete, he actually said exactly the same thing. The moment the fight is over, you know, the resting period, it does have a lot of toll. So, you know, and it becomes really difficult to just go about in day-to-day life, you know. So definitely an extremely, extremely valid point. But, you know, thank you so very much for doing this podcast. Now, Tatiana, everyone who has done obstacle course race events, even trail running events in the Middle East, have definitely seen you. You have several podium finishes in Spartan OCR, trail events, even at the Spartan World Championship in Lima, which I believe you wanted to do the event twice, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Honestly, I wanted to do all three. I wanted to do super beast in the morning and then trail run in the evening. But coach said, okay, just do beast and the run. But then unfortunately, the morning when I woke up, they moved the race. They didn't allow me to do both. So I had to do only the trail run. But even with the trail run, it was a disaster because they canceled 50K, to which I originally signed up. So I had to run 21.
And for our listeners, international listeners, I think she's talking about the most brutal condition that was in Lever. At least for us, it was brutal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, you know, I think it was brutal for people who came from abroad, because for us, we're kind of used to UAE weather, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. We all live here, so that's why.
That is great. Now, before we get into the race details, Tatiana, can you tell us a bit about yourself, as in where you're originally from? Because I'm really curious to find out your experience in running and fitness, and if this is a full-time job. And I'm pretty much sure a lot of the running enthusiasts and even obstacle course race athletes will definitely like to know more about you.
Well, to start with, I was born and grew up in Ukraine, so I'm Ukrainian. My mom is Ukrainian, my dad is Russian, so I'm kind of a little bit both. And I grew up being completely like a person completely out of sport. My dad, he was very active in his younger years, and he's trying to stay a little bit more active now because he used to do some weightlifting. He did some even like gymnastics, but he always hated running. Okay. He used to work as a PE teacher at the kindergarten where I went to, but like he hated running. So actually, like the first 27 years of my life, I didn't do anything. I did a little bit of dancing, which I enjoyed a lot, but never any sport. So it's only when I moved to UAE, when I lived there for a couple of years. And then it all started with, so I changed the job. I started working for the company I'm currently working. So no, unfortunately, running is not my full-time job. And I'm working as a secretary at the moment, so I'm doing administrative stuff, which I kind of like because this is something that allows me to recover from my races. Actually, yeah. I always say that you know, I am an athlete, but my work is my recovery. Because even when, like, you know, every year when I have my like yearly appraisals with my boss, and he's like, "Do you have any like career goals? Do you want to move on?" I'm like, "Leave me alone. I have my career goals in my running. You know, I used to do just 5K, then I moved to 50. Now I'm doing like long ultras. So that's my career. So when I'm coming to the office, let me just book tickets, schedule meetings, and rest." So yeah, that's how basically it all started. I changed the job. I was working in Business Central Towers, and we had Fitness First there.
Oh yeah.
So it was a perfect combination. And one day I went there, I had two free PT sessions. At that time, I didn't even know, like, despite I used to work as the English teacher when I was in Ukraine. So like, I've always spoke, like English was usually my like second language. And at that time, I didn't even know the sport vocabulary. Like he told me, "Can you do 10 squats?" I'm like, "Squat?" Like, I didn't even know, you know, basic words. And at the end of the session, the PT, he asked me if I wanted to run. So I was like, "Well, yeah, yesterday night I made myself like a playlist. Let me just run on the treadmill." And I remember it was 6th of June, 2016. That's the first time when I got on the treadmill. And since then, every single day I was coming to the gym and I was running on the treadmill. A few months after, in November, one of my colleagues, she sent us a mail that she will be doing Dubai Women's Run. That was yesterday.
Okay.
Taken. And I was like, no. Running competition. Oh, why would I need that? And then there was an email from my boss, and she was like, "I'm in." And I thought, well, if my boss is going to run and she's like a woman in her 40s, I mean, I have to prove that I'm worth being in her department. And I signed up. I did my first 5K outside. Before that, I was always running only on treadmill. So I ran, I finished, I think I was 18th out of like 600 ladies.
Which is great, yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of good. Yeah. That was nice. And then the whole running thing just absorbed me, and I still can't get enough of it.
Absolutely, it is so addictive, isn't it? And once you start running, what I tend to do is, let's say if I'm going overseas, I even plan my packing and everything so that I can go ahead and do a run. And, you know, you always get the runner's high. So, you know, thank you so very much for sharing the information. Now, I was a bit surprised to know that, you know, you only started running in 2016. Because I thought, you know, maybe from a small kid, you might be running.
So, that's probably one of the things I really regret. I wish I started running earlier. But, you know, maybe if I started earlier, I would never get to UAE. And I would probably never do all the stuff I'm doing right now. So it was just the right place, the right time. I'm anyway happy that running came into my life because it changed it completely.
That is absolutely great. And it's really glad to know that, you know, you're also doing a full-time job. Now, in the world of obstacle course race, Tatiana, let's travel back in time. And can you take us to the very first obstacle course race event that you did? How did you find out? What was your initial reaction to that?
I was a part of a running community. I don't want to name it because it's related to another brand, and I'm ASICS Front Runner, so I don't want to. So I was part of the running community, and one day one of the guys came up with the idea, let's all sign up for I think it was Desert Run Challenge or Dubai Desert Run Challenge.
Desert Warrior Challenge?
Desert Warrior Challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So it was, I don't even remember where it took place, but like we were a group of like 40 people. And I did the whole course with this guy. We had the same pace, so we were running. And I found it really cool. I mean, at that time, I didn't do much strength work or whatever. It was mostly running, though I had my PT still at that time. But I really liked it. I mean, it scared me a lot because it had, you know, they used to have this obstacle where you have a tube, like you slide on it and then you just, you
Correct.
Fall into water. I'm scared of jumping into water and I have fear of heights. And then the second obstacle, they had this giant slide. That was the second thing that scared me. So, a few months, no, maybe like even less than a month after that, because Desert Warrior was in October. And then the same guy came up with another crazy idea. We had like a small group of friends and he was like, let's sign up for Spartan Race. And it was a championship in Hatta, again, in 2017. And I wanted first to sign up for 5K, but the guys were like, come on, let's do 21. So I signed up and I'm like, guys, I signed up. And I remember clearly the message, you have no idea what you sign up for. And I had no idea. Like at that time, I didn't know how to climb the rope. I didn't know anything about the Olympus or whatever. I couldn't even do the monkey bars. Like I couldn't do anything. It took us maybe like 5 hours to complete the race.
That is for the beast.
For the beast, yeah. It was my very, very first beast in 2017. But then it just, I mean, it's anyway, it's all it's still cool. And then a year after that, I went to Philippines to do Trifecta.
Oh.
And
was that in Batangas by any chance?
Sorry?
Was that in Batangas in Philippines? Because where there was a storm also, I believe, at the sea.
Yes, it was that September when they had all these storms and stuff. And
Correct,
I clearly remember that I arrived on the first day to do Beast. All the tents were down and we said we decided to move all three races to another day. So we had to do three races in one day.
That was really, really brutal as well. And you know, you were mentioning about the event in Hatta. I was just interviewing Ryan, who's the managing director of Spartan Arabia. And he gave me some information about, you know, how they miscalculated the race distance. So instead of it being 21 kilometers, I think it was 23 or 24 kilometers for the beast. So, you know,
it's possible. No, honestly, like when it comes to distances in trail running, I never had even a single race where it was exactly what it is. Because, you know, it's a trail. It's not like a road and you run straight. Somewhere you run here, there, you're trying to, you know, find your way on the trail. So people who complain after the trail run that, oh, it was more than we signed up for, you should be ready for that.
I think you should complain if it is lesser than that.
Yeah, exactly.
If it is more than that, I don't think so. There's any room for complaining. Now, regarding the first event that you did, the Desert Warrior Challenge, take us a day before that, expectation versus reality. How did it fare according to you?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect because I never Googled it. That. Like, okay, Desert Warrior Challenge, let's go and see. And then, you know, on the day we came to the race venue and you see all those settings and you're like, okay, let's see what it's going to be. But again, because we were a huge group, so it means that you're always running with someone, you always have somebody to help you. So in that case, it was a lot easier. So let's say my transition to obstacle course racing was very smooth.
And am I right in saying, Tatiana, that you were part of the OCR Freaks as well during that period of time or just at the initial stages?
So when I signed up for Philippines, when I arrived to Philippines, that was the day when I actually met George. So if you ever talk to George again, he will tell you two things about me. First thing, he saved me from the typhoon in Philippines because that morning when I arrived I contacted him a few days before the race. So I said that I'm coming and you're coming with a big group of people. So, you know, I might, you know, spend some time with you guys. And on the morning when I arrived, I started texting them, guys, don't come to race venue because it's canceled. But they anyway canceled. And right when I sent the message, I heard Tatiana, we're here. So that's why he always says that he saved me. And the second thing George always saying about me is that I'm the first woman to make him cry.
Oh, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, he did not sleep as well for that, because he was awake because of another reason. And without sleep, he ended up doing Beast or something. I do remember reading his story back then.
Yeah. I mean, for me, sleeping and racing, it's like, you know, sleeping is there and racing is there.
Yeah. And towards the end, you know, I do have a question related to sleep. Now, Tatiana, you've done different obstacle course races all over United Arab Emirates. What has been your most favorite one?
Most favorite one. I really do like Wadi Adventure Race.
Yeah, that is a lot of water, right?
Three or four times. I used to like it a lot. I think they're coming back again this maybe December or something. But yeah, I really love that race. But apart from that, I still think that Spartan is really something that stands out of the crowd, because they have amazing races in different locations, always different. I mean, yeah, we have the same obstacles, but it's always different location, always different distances, and yeah. Okay, let's say Spartan on the first place, Wadi Adventure Race on the second.
That's absolutely great to know. And Tatiana, you've also done Ice Marathon, that is Baikal Ice Marathon. What was that experience like? Because I was watching that pictures and that looks absolutely beautiful.
It was really amazing. It was one of the races I've always wanted to do. And actually it started in 2019. So we did Spartan Ultra World Championship. It was in Sweden. It was 24 hours race in the mountains and in the cold with the snow. So somebody just set up the rumor that the next Ultra World Champs will be in Siberia, which is definitely not going to happen, but still, because people will not travel that far. I mean, people are complaining about coming to Abu Dhabi, so who will go to Siberia? So yeah, and you know, I became very curious. So one day at work, when I had not many things to do, don't tell my boss, and I decided just to Google races in Siberia, and I saw that Baikal Ice Marathon, and I was like, that looks absolutely stunning, because when you see that ice with all these nice patterns, and actually, you know, the lake that freezes in winter and you can run on it from one bank to another, that's just incredible. So it took me 3 years to sign up. Okay. Because the first year when I wanted to sign up, it was a little bit too late. The second year it was 2020, so no chance. Yes. And then at the end of 2021, I decided that it's time.
Now, see, I always wanted to do a marathon in Iceland, which has a bit of snow. But the one that you did in Baikal, how is it different training over there? Because I believe the trail might be a bit hard, isn't it, over there?
Honestly, no, absolutely not. Okay. The training for the Baikal Ice Marathon, it was just the same as any other trainings that I'm having. It's just like the only difference probably is that it's a bit slippery, it's snow and it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
So what I did is sometimes just once a week I was going to ski Dubai, because they have an option of morning hike. Yeah. And I was just going up and down the slopes. That's it. It's just to, you know, to test the clothes and just to a little bit adjust to the cold. But the thing was that marathon, they had a few different packages. You can either sign up for race and come and race, but I chose the option of, they had acclimatization package, which was for like 7 days. So we're coming to the country, we're going to Baikal, we spend, I think it was 5 days, we lived next to Baikal, we had runs every day. So I was in this temperature for the whole week before I started the race itself.
So it wasn't a body shock. Yeah. Better. Oh, that's absolutely excellent. And you mentioned about training in Mall of the Emirates. And that is one of the reasons why I believe you also smashed the Ice Warrior Challenge as well, right?
It's my favorite race. Probably, yeah. I might have forgotten to mention that, but yeah, let's move Spartan to second place. Ice Warrior is the first one. So I did it 5 years in a row. I managed to move from fifth place to the first that I got this year, finally. Did the job. But yeah, Ice Warrior is definitely one of the best races that happen in UAE for many reasons. First of all, it's the obstacle race in the snow in the country where there's no snow, right? It's an indoor ski resort, and they still do have pretty quite good obstacles because the race is actually quite tough. So yeah, that's probably one of the best ones.
I remember, in 2017 when I was doing this race, and someone from UK asked me, where are you doing it? I was telling it in the snow, and they were like, "What are you talking about?" Then I had to explain it, and the videos and the photographs are absolutely brilliant in that location as well. So, and you are championing that is absolutely massive as well. Now, Tatiana, you've done several events all over the world, be it, let's say, trail running, ultra events, Spartan events internationally. According to you, how do these events compare to, let's say, events in the Middle East?
I think, in Middle East, this the sport culture, or let's say the racing culture, is still developing. So it's good when people from here go, let's say, to Europe to see how it all happens and then bring this culture here. Because, for example, if you compare Spartan race here and Spartan race in Europe, there it's a lot more settled. Like the difference between Spartan race here and there, first of all, they have, first of all, they always start on time. Like there's no 45 minutes delay. I'm
Right.
sorry, Saudi Arabia, but yeah, like the last couple of races where we had to wait for 45 minutes to start, it drains you.
Especially with the heat factor as well, it makes a lot of difference, right?
So first of all, timings, right? Secondly, they have more and better, I don't want to call it water station because water station, that's what we have here. But for example, when I did Spartan race in Morzine, they have not only water, but they have some, bananas, oranges, they have some gummy bears, they have chips. So they are better in terms of nutrition. Because see, even okay, like if you're doing Spartan Ultra anywhere in the world, you have mandatory gear. You need to have a backpack with water, and you need to carry some gels to fuel you during your way anyway. But in France, we still had proper nutrition station where you could, I was running, I was grabbing all those gummies, and I was just putting them into pockets because they were so good. And then I was just, putting them into my mouth when I was going down, let's say. So it's a lot better there as well. And the last thing I would say that volunteering is a lot better there because unfortunately we don't have that many volunteers here, even if though Spartan Arabia, they always put the advertisement that we need volunteers. And volunteers actually, they can get, I think, a free race entry for open group. They have a meal. I did volunteering once in Spartan Oman in 2019 because, like, okay, let me just spill the beans, right? I got a free entry for my race for Spartan Beast, so I decided to kind of, pay off to Spartan Arabia and do the
Got it.
volunteering on the next day. So they picked us up early in the morning. They took us to the station. And what I remember is that the guy who was from the organizer's team, he told us, okay, some first people who run, they should do burpees, others not. And I was shocked because, come on, red band burpees, black band, let them do whatever they want. So, because of that, there are lots of people who are cheating. Unfortunately, cheating is a still huge problem here. And yeah, and some people, especially who are doing the race for the first time, they simply don't know the rules because, yeah, okay, they send us this rule book, but let's be honest, who reads it?
Correct.
I've been doing Spartan race for what, like 5 years. I never read that book.
And you know what I really liked about one of the posts? I think there was a bit of drama at the Oman event last a few months ago as well, right? Now what I did was, I showed it to my niece who's 15 years old. So do you want to tell us what the story is, and then our listeners would know what it is all about?
Sorry?
Do you want to tell the listeners what happened? Because I remember.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So what happened is we had four ladies in elite category. We all ran basically the same course, right? But what Spartan Arabia told us at the beginning of the race, which was delayed a little bit.
Yeah.
So they told us that there were lots of wild camels who were on the route who started to chew the markers. So they said this, we're doing our best to put the markers back, but just be careful, double check all the time. But actually this is something that people who do trail runs all the time, like we always need to check the markers, like follow the markers, not the person in front of you. So there were a couple of times where we were not sure where to run. Yeah, but like I was always running with two more guys. So we were always looking for the way. And on the next, like I finished, I was second. I was very happy with that. Jess, who finished first, who in my opinion is one of the best athletes as well. And she deserves to be the first. So this is how the placing was. And on the next day, when we arrived to the venue, I saw Jess arguing with the organizers because they said, they gave both of us around like 1 hour, 1 hour and a half penalties because we cut the course, which was really
shocking.
Unbelievable because I like, I'm running with a watch. I had 22, I think, K on my Suunto, and that's with all the penalty loops that I did, which I did. So it was really kind of unfair. And we spent a lot of time arguing before, you know, like some wise and less emotional people came. So a friend of mine who did the same course, he opened his app with, you know, the map. I opened my app with the map and I showed them, guys,
too much. Okay.
It's they match and they match with your map that you gave us. So I'm sorry, I didn't cut anything. I did the whole route. I did all the penalty loops. You have the cameras next to the obstacles, yeah, which are mandatory. So I did everything I could. And yeah, then they just took the decision to put me first, to put third lady second and fourth lady third, and they just left just out of the podium. But again, I still wasn't agree with that because again, she's much better than me. There is no way I can even with her right now. So at the end, and I saw that the husband of the lady who finished third, but was now second, he started making drama, like, why you gave this lady first? And Chris, who was still working in Spartan Arabia at the time, he said, well, because even like we gave her 30 minutes penalty, still don't know for what, but okay. But she's still ahead of your wife, but he couldn't calm down. And then I was completely pissed off and I'm like, okay, I'll be second because I finished second. I'm not staying on anyone's podium spot and that's it. So they called me second. I was satisfied with that. I didn't, you know, like, I'm not enemies with anyone. Yeah. I just took what I deserved. So I was very happy with that.
That's exactly how I showed my niece as well, that you proactively asked that, you know, let me be second. And that was such a good team spirit as well.
And yeah, I'm sure... but again, as I said in my post, you know, as the athlete, as the competitive athlete, I would love to win Spartan Race one day. Like, so far I was third, I was second, I don't have the first place. And I would love to get that triangle, at least just one. But again, I want to get it by crossing the finish line first and not by taking advantage of my competitors being given the penalties that they didn't deserve.
Absolutely spot on. I 100% agree to that. But keeping all these things in mind, Tatiana, is there a message you'd like to give to, let's say, race directors or event organizers? Let's say for Spartan Race, locally, internationally, or even let's say for other OCR or trail running events, any message that you have for them?
Race with your heart, respect your competitors. Yeah.
That is absolutely.
And enjoy the race.
That is 100% correct. Now let's talk about, you know, Spartan Race. The Spartan World Championship is coming up in Abu Dhabi for the second time at Al Watba location. Now, what are your thoughts about Spartan Race World Championship at Al Watba? This year, will you be participating in it?
Yeah, this year I'll be doing it. I have already signed up for the age group. And yeah, can't wait to do that. I just hope that my body will recover by that time so I could go out and do my best.
And this year, if I'm not mistaken, Tatiana, they have a night race as well, right? 3 kilometers. Night race, if that is an individual or team one, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if it's a night or a day, but that's like invite only event for the elites.
I see, okay.
Maybe that's going to be, I don't know, something like shorter in the distance, but more
3 kilometers. Yeah, I think they are focusing more on 3 kilometers and shorter distances.
Maybe it's more like, you know, one of those ninja events when you just start and it's just obstacles.
And well, let's say if you were to give a prediction, who do you think this year will be the winner of Spartan World Championship, male and female? And there was Spartan Trifecta weekend last weekend as well.
Truth be told, I'm not following any professional athlete. Like, honestly, first of all, because I don't know, I'm not quite interested in that. And I'm getting more inspiration from people I train with than from
those
you know, who have, like, for who, let's say, sport is their, like, full-time job. Because to me, it's still not full-time job. And I'm getting more inspiration from people I train with, because I know that once the training is done, just like me, they have to go to the office or, you know, to do the job, maybe like to raise the kids or something else. But I don't know. I know only 4 people who I think for sure are going to be there. It's like Ryan and Lindsay and Alisa and Sergey. So let them be at the top. I'll be happy for them.
And for you, do you have any time prediction for yourself, or do you want to keep it a secret?
I don't know. Let's say sub 4 and I'll be happy, because again, you know, it's going to be 21K and it's in the desert. Again, I didn't race there last year, so I'm not kind of sure what exactly is going to be. I remember 21K in Liwa took me around 3:30 maybe. But again, we started at 12, you know, when it was already too late. And our start was delayed for 1 hour as well. So, you know, we were a little bit tired. Plus, there were almost no water stations. So we couldn't properly, you know, hydrate ourselves. So if I do something like 3:30 with obstacles, I think I'll be happy. But again, you know, every time I'm signing up for a race, my ultimate goal is still to finish, because it's always like, it always depends on so many factors, and racing is unpredictable. You never know what may go right, what may go wrong. You may have, you know, like the, let's say the finish window, like maybe between 3-4 hours, right? So let's stick to that. I'll be happy. Anyway, if I cross the finish line, I'll already be happy, because what I always say to people, and I think it was one of the messages I told to people when I was in Jordan last year, when I did my Jordan adventure race, what I told at the end is, there is one saying that I like: it doesn't matter how fast you go, you're still lapping everybody on the couch. So imagine how many people didn't sign up for the race, how many people are just somewhere, I don't know, drinking beers, watching TV and stuff, and you're here in the desert doing the race. That's already accomplishment. So if you manage to cross the finish line, it's amazing.
That is definitely a very positive outlook of looking at it that way. And for our international audience who probably might be visiting Abu Dhabi for the very first time, what message do you have for them? Not necessarily race related as such, but general cultural things, the do's and don'ts, any message that you have for them?
Get yourself gaiters.
Oh, 100%.
Get yourself sent gaiters in advance. Because, you know, when in Liwa, the day before the race, everybody started going to the same shop in Dubai to get gaiters. Guys, they just didn't have enough of hands to sew our gaiters to the shoes. So, yeah, that's the best advice I can give people.
And I think
hydrate well, eat well, and get yourself gaiters.
And I think AFD Garage is a good company that sells one of the best sand gaiters, right? Really like.
Not even gaiters, but the gear in general. And I'm very proud to call the girl who is behind AFD Garage one of my best friends, and she is also training with me. And she's also one of the most inspiring people I have around me these days. It's Emily. And she's always supporting people with the best gear, like with the gaiters, with running vests. Like, I've been using her vest and flasks for the past couple of years. And yeah, during most of my races, I was racing in that gear, and I can't recommend it more.
Absolutely. And I was speaking to Emily via Instagram, and we were just joking about, on Facebook, there is this funny group called as Bad Ultra Running Advice. I'm not sure if you're there in it, and it is
ridiculous. I don't think so.
It is ridiculously funny and really extreme, to be honest. But a lot of them are actually really hardcore athletes. So, you know, on the weekends, they would do 100 miles just for fun. So, you know, I was definitely talking to Emily about that as well. Now, what I really like, you know, Tatiana, in one of your Instagram posts, you actually mentioned that once you start Spartan Ultra, you won't be interested in other distances anymore. Personally, I loved it and I 100% agree to it. Now, can you tell our listeners, what is it that is different about Spartan Ultra events? And you've done this events quite a lot of time as well.
Yeah, I've done Spartan Ultra 3 times, and fourth time it was 24 hours race in Sweden.
Sweden, yeah.
It was the Ultra World Championship. Honestly, I think when I did my first Spartan Ultra, that's when I really fell in love with it. And when I did it for the second time, because the first event was in December, and then in July it was France. And after that, I just couldn't imagine myself signing up for something less, because like I've done the
topmost thing, the highest, yeah.
I'm not talking about, you know, all those, they have Agoge, Death Race, yeah, or Hurricane Heat, you know, in terms of just Spartan distance, right? And yeah, because, it's longer. It means that you have to be twice stronger, twice mentally stronger, because, you know, like most people, let's say when they do Beast, right, they passing, let's say, Olympus, and they're like, I'm never going to do Olympus anymore until the next race, right? But here, if you fail it, you're like, oh, God, I need to do it one more time.
Yeah, that is true.
So when you're doing the second loop of for Spartan Ultra, because usually it's 2 laps of Beast, you already know that you will have to face the same thing one more time.
Yeah.
And speaking even about the Spartan race in Morzin, because it's one of the toughest Spartan ultras in the world, because you have this huge mountain you have to go up, and you have to go up twice. Like even this year, when I was finishing my first lap, my first thought was, there's no way I'm gonna do it one more time, because I can't even imagine going up for the second time.
And I saw your Instagram post where Simon Pepo actually asked you that, you know, after the race, do you want to do it? You said no. And the very next day, you guys decided to talk about it and go ahead and sign up for the next year's event as well.
No, that's the thing about ultra runners. Actually, maybe about any runner. You do the marathon or you do the race and you finish and during the race, you're like, I'll never do this again. On the next day, you're signing up for another one. Like the best example, when I was doing Diagonal de Fou 2 weeks ago, I was crying during the race. I was sending messages to my best friend, who is also a runner, who was one of the people who initiated me signing up for the race. And I was like, I'll never do 100 miler again. Never, ever, ever in my entire life. Last Thursday, I'm sitting and checking something on the internet. I'm sending her a WhatsApp message. Good morning, and the link to another 100 miler. This is us.
Is that somewhere in UAE or somewhere out of UAE?
No, it's somewhere out of UAE.
Because I remember in Al Marmoum, I think they were planning to have a last man standing race.
Yeah.
And I think the winner of that did get an entry to Barkley Marathon. That was, I believe, in 2017 or 2018, if I'm not mistaken. Now, keeping your experience in mind regarding, let's say, long distances, Spartan Race is now focusing on shorter distances, which is 3 kilometers. What are your thoughts on shorter distances?
My personal thoughts on shorter distances, what is this?
I don't like it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's say I'm a long distance runner. I don't like short distances. It's like, you know, 3K. No, it's not a race. I'm not even bothering myself to do
100%
that.
Agree to
but,
it.
But yeah, you know, it's good that Spartan has the choice for all kinds of people, because some like it, some like long races, some like short races. So it's the perfect where people can choose whatever they want, whatever they feel more like doing.
I know a lot of elite racers, they're definitely not happy with, you know, being smaller races, but maybe Spartan from a business point of view and looking at the, I think they also have intentions of getting into Olympics and with the pentathlon, and, you know, I think they have those things at the back of your mind as well. Now, Tatiana, in your experience in, let's say, Spartan Race, obstacle course race, and even Ice Warrior Challenge, and even marathons and ice, is there a particular race or event that stands out for you and is the most memorable, and what is it that makes it special for you?
I think every time I'm signing up for a new race, it's usually the race that is a lot better than, let's say, whatever I did before. Because, for example, when I did Cappadocia back in 2021, I thought that, okay, nothing can be better than Cappadocia, or nothing can be better than Baikal Ice Marathon, because come on, running on the ice, that's cool, that's brutal. Then last year I did Jordan Adventure Race. It's 185K nonstop, self-supported and partially self-navigated race from Petra to Wadi Rum. So I had to carry all my food on my shoulders, because on checkpoints we had only water and coke
Oh, I
and
see.
blankets and mattresses, and that's it. So I had to carry all my food, even like the proper food, you know, the one that you just add some
Yeah,
hot water
hot
in,
water, yeah.
buckwheat or mashed potatoes, whatever. So at that time, I thought that nothing can beat that race because it's simply amazing. Then this year, when I 2 weeks ago I did Diagonal des Fous, to me this is like the race of all the races. I don't know if any other race can kill me like that, can torture me like that, because first of all, it was 100 miles. Secondly, because the elevation was 10,000 meters. Thirdly, because it was super technical. I have never done even short distance that would be so technical as this one. And the elevation profile just looked, you know, like a heart diagram. It's up and
Oh.
down, up and down, up and down, up and down. So yeah, let's say for the moment, to me, like the coolest race of all is this Diagonal des Fous. And even though during the race I was sending voice message to my coach that I wouldn't wish this race even to my greatest enemies. No. Now I'm like, guys, if you want to challenge yourself, go and do this one.
And am I right in saying that you also beat some of the male competitors as well?
Well, yeah, I would say, because I mean, in this race in Diagonal des Fous, I was 35th lady and around 470 overall. And at the beginning, we were around 2,800 people, with only 2,010 people who finished. So let's say I'm in the first 500. But if to speak about Jordan Adventure Race last year, yeah, I won it overall. So I just beat everybody who was there. But yeah.
And am I right in saying that you beat them by a massive margin, not a short margin?
Yes.
It was for a couple
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
hours.
I finished in 35, I think 35 hours, 35 minutes. And the second person who was the first male, he finished in like 2 or 3 hours after me.
That is a massive
And that's
achievement, isn't it?
considering that I ran 20 additional K because I got lost a few times.
So despite
I'm
that,
very
you
bad
beat.
with navigation. That's not my strong point.
That is definitely an achievement, you know, definitely worth talking about. And hopefully the next generation can find out about that as well. Now, Rikav, you've talked about, you know, a particular race that you like. The next question is similar, but let's see with a different view. Is there a specific moment in a race where you felt, you know, things are not going right at all? You are at a breaking point and you felt, you know what, this is it. I can't handle this anymore. What was that moment and how did you overcome that?
There's always such moment in a race, especially the long distance. There's always the moment when you hit the wall, because you know, especially if we talk about very long distances, because like there's 100% chance you will get this moment. Let's say if we talk about Diagonal des Fous, so what the moment I remember from this race is, I think it was second day. So to start with, just to give a little bit of additional details, the start of this race is at 9 p.m., meaning
Okay.
that the whole day I need to do something. And for some reason, I woke up at 6 a.m. and I couldn't fall asleep. So imagine, by 9 p.m. of the next day, I was awake for like 30
36 hours, yeah.
something, 36 hours. I was running nonstop, up and down, up and down. And I arrived to one of the checkpoints, and I was really tired, but I told myself I need to keep going to get to the next checkpoint. So imagine, it's dark, it's night. You walk and people are so tired that they just fall asleep on the track itself. Like you walk with your head torch and suddenly you look at the left or at the right and you see a person wrapped in emergency blanket and sleeping, meaning that the person couldn't even, you know, walk another 2K until the checkpoint. So it was very scary, first of all. Secondly, by that time, I was mentally tired because most of the climbs and descents we did were on stairs. Like the island is full of stairs. So by the time I have a video of me filming those stairs, and I used very bad words to tell the coach that I hate these bloody stairs. I can't walk on them anymore. So I was tired of these stairs. Another thing is, you know, when you're into the race so late and you look up and you see some small like white dots going somewhere up, and you know that those are other people with their head torches, and you still need to go there, that up, that far. And it demotivates a lot. So when I arrived to the next checkpoint, I said that I need to recharge myself. I got some food. I sent message to my coach. I put 30 minutes timer. I wrapped myself in the emergency blanket. I fell asleep on the grass.
I see.
I woke up in 30 minutes. I was fresh. I could keep going. So that's the moment that happened. And what I would like to tell to other athletes, if at some point in the race you feel like you can't go anymore, or you have some pain, or you have any other issues, stop. Pause yourself. Don't
push it.
What I'm trying to say is don't DNF, don't give your beep to authorities, don't stop the race completely.
Okay.
Put it on pause, have some food, have some rest, sleep for 20 minutes. I don't know, if you have an opportunity, call your coach, call your friends, just complain a little bit, sit, cry, do whatever you want, just give yourself 30, 45 minutes of rest. And then get up and continue. Just recharge yourself somehow. It will pass. It will
that
pass.
Is an absolutely, absolutely powerful advice, which actually leads me to the next question. And this is more of a question for me, actually. Now, this is more directed towards me. Now, what does it take, you know, Tatiana, to push the pain barrier? Because for some odd reason, I do feel, even when I'm training, there's this moment, even let's say in a treadmill, that there is pain and there is pleasure. I know that line. And me personally, I'm afraid to cross that line. I'm like, no, let me just do it today itself. And to be honest, I haven't crossed that line. So what advice do you have for someone like me? And I'm pretty much sure there are other listeners who are exactly in the same position. Because based on what you're telling, you know, you've definitely surpassed that line. At the same time, you know, you're focusing on active recovery as well. So what advice do you have for me?
Again, I think just stop, recharge yourself, and then
yeah.
Going. Like, honestly, when it comes to training, let's say, let me give just two examples. Sometimes it happens, I'm not a morning person. I hate training in the morning, but unfortunately, most of the trainings are happening in the morning. And I'm extremely vulnerable in the morning. If you see me in the morning, I look like a serial killer. People know it's... They shouldn't even talk to me in the morning because I will kill you with my eyes. So let's say sometimes when I'm coming to, mostly it's a track session because I don't like short distances, you know, that we are running like 400 meters. No, just let me run 100K. Like, for example, sometimes it happens I'm running with the faster guys and they start very quick and I can't keep up with them. And obviously it pisses me off that I can't keep up with them. And there were a few times when, for example, I do the first, let's say, set with them, and then I go to the washroom, I cry, or I just, I don't know, wash my face, then I'm coming back, which means already like 5-10 minutes passed, then I just set up my watch and I do the rest of the training myself in my own, like, in my own speed or whatever. So again, I think the most important part is just to recharge yourself and then keep going. I remember when I was training for Jordan, because usually I train basically every single day until my body tells me I'm tired of you, today you're resting.
Resting.
It happened. Yeah. So we usually had like two runs, Saturday mountains, Sunday, Mleiha, we're doing the desert run. I don't like running on the sand, to be honest. I really, really hate it. And every time I'm coming for our Sunday rounds, especially when I was preparing for that event, I was always running the last at the beginning. Like you see, even slowest runners, they are running with the whole group and I'm somewhere at the back and I might stop, I might cry, I might curse me actually being here outside and not in my bed. And but then like 1 hour later, I'm coming back on to the desert and I'm already flying with the rest. But I remember one episode when I was going up the dune and the whole group was already there. And my coach, he saw me, he was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "No." And he asked, "But you know that this is what you have to go through during the race." And I replied, "I know, and that's why I'm still here." So yeah, that's when I was pushing myself to still run with the whole group, even slower. But I knew that I will have this moment during the race when I want to stop. So I just need to go through it.
That is absolutely great. And that's the importance of having a good coach as well. And I do have a few questions regarding the coach, because your coach is definitely a well-known coach. But before that, let's talk about the t-shirt that you're wearing and something that you're proud of. That is the ASICS Front Runner. Now, you are an ASICS Front Runner and you've attended several international events and meetings. Can you tell our listeners, what is it being an ASICS Front Runner?
It's being the part of one of the best sport brands that exist these days, one of the oldest sport brands, the brand that is very focused on people, that is made by people for people, and probably being a part of a huge, I don't want to say, let's say running, but maybe like sport community, and having the very a lot of different people around you who have maybe the same goals with you, but at the same time, you know, ASICS Front Runners, we have around like 600 people in the team all over the world. And those are people who belong to different countries, different nationalities, different ethnicities. They have different body shapes, different life stories, but we all share the same passion for the sport, for the brand, for the philosophy of ASICS, because you know the main philosophy of ASICS is sound mind, sound body. Yeah. If for those who don't know, but the word ASICS is actually the abbreviations of the Latin saying anima sana in corpore sano, which is sound mind, sound body, right? So yeah, that's one of the best messages the company is saying. And what makes ASICS different from other sport brands is that, you know, if you check the profiles of influencers and athletes of other sport brands, those are like either worldwide athletes, very well known, or people who have, let's say, like 50K followers and more. And then if you check the profiles of ASICS Front Runners, those are people who, some of them barely have 1,000 followers, but those are people who are very passionate about what they're doing, right? Yeah. And one of the, also like one of the main things why I really do like the brand is it's a Japanese brand, and Japanese people, they're very humble. Like you will not see a Japanese person riding a Ferrari in the middle of Tokyo just, you know, to show off. Correct, or, yeah. Hey, I have a Ferrari. It's going to be probably the person who has this Ferrari in the garage, comes, look at it, and then just go back home to ride the bicycle to work. So you will not see huge campaigns with, you know, like football celebrities from ASICS, because again, this is a very humble brand, but that is focusing on producing really high quality sport clothes and shoes and material. So yeah. Those are the reasons why I'm so much in love with ASICS, and I'm really, really happy that finally I got a chance to join this group and to pass the message to others.
100% well-deserved. And to be honest, I've heard about this brand for at least for the past 30 years, but for the very first time when I was researching for the podcast, that was the time I actually found out what it actually meant. So, you know, had you not mentioned that, I was just thinking that it is just a name. So, you know, thank you for going ahead and mentioning that as well. And how does ASICS, let's say, help in your personal life itself? Let's say in your general work-life balance, does it help in that too?
Doesn't help a lot in the personal life, because the woman has to do all my photos.
That is great.
But no, okay, jokes aside, you know, like when you're a part of such a great community, it's a little bit of more, wait, I forgot the word, responsibility.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a lot of responsibility, but it's also a chance, let's say, to me to share the message with a lot more people, you know, that it's very important to keep the balance between what's going on in your head and what your body does.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the hashtag is as well, right? Hashtag sound mind, sound body as well. So thank you so much for that. Now, Tough Mudder Tatiana, which is another brand under the Spartan umbrella, they are having Tough Mudder Infinity in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which is an 8-hour obstacle course race. Now, what are your thoughts on that? And are you planning to attend it? Or what are your thoughts about being part of that?
Truth be told, Tough Mudder is the only obstacle race I haven't done yet, even once. Like, the only thing I know about Tough Mudder is that you have this electric thing at the end of the race, because everybody always mentions that. But again, you know, I'm really happy that these sport events are becoming more and more popular, especially here in Middle East, and especially in Saudi Arabia, which used to be quite kind of like, you know, discreet and closed country. I'm really, really happy to see that these days they have Tough Mudder, they have also like the Eco Trail Al Ula, and yeah, we do have ASICS front runners there who are also participating and in different races, and they have different communities, you know, to spread the word about the sport. So it's a really great event. And again, it's since Tough Mudder is a part of Spartan, it means inviting more international athletes, again, you know, to show them a little bit about the sport culture here in our region, and especially in Saudi Arabia, because I'm sure that not many people even know what Saudi Arabia is.
Absolutely. And what are your thoughts?
Great. Again, I'm not sure if, again, I can do that, because truth be told, like this morning I was sitting with my coach and I told him all the races I want to do during the next 2 months. And he was like, easy, Tiger. Easy. We need to remove a few and leave just a few, because you're still recovering.
That's absolutely fantastic advice by your coach. And the next question was to do with your coach. And as we talked about earlier as well, Tatiana, having a great coach is extremely important, especially at the level that you're competing at. And you have, if not one of the best trainers and coach, that is Lee Harris. Now, how did your training start with him, and what is it that you can tell about him?
That's one of my favorite topics, apart from ASICS.
Yep.
Now, I would probably say that I don't have one of the best coaches. I have the best coach, because I don't know anyone better than Lee, and I cannot imagine being trained by anyone else except for Lee. And probably Lee is the best thing that happened to me in my running career, because the level at which I am now is only because of him. Like, if somebody needs an example, and I'm always trying to give this example, in 2019, I did Spartan race in Morzine. At that time, I had no coach. Like, okay, my grip was zero. I was running mostly on treadmill. I didn't run on the trails. And it took me 13 hours, 43 minutes to do the race. This year, in July, I did the same race, Spartan Morzine. And it took me 9 hours, 43 minutes.
So that's...
imagine, I managed to kick 4 hours out of my time. 4 hours.
Which is a lot.
It's a lot, because my grip is still not perfect. I still fail obstacles and I do penalty loops. But imagine how my running improved that I removed 4 hours of my time. So basically, that's the reason why I'm saying that I have a best coach. And that's the best example, that whatever he's doing, the program he has created, whatever we do at LK Performance, that thing actually works. And it's not because I'm so good. No, it's because I have a coach who is making me this good.
I 100% agree. And what he said is echoed by Simon Pepper. He said the same thing. And even Sarah, I'm not sure if you've heard of Sarah.
Yes.
She said exactly the same thing. And if I'm not mistaken, even Gunny, he's also part of...
Gani, he's the, let's say, co-coach in LK Running Performance. So yeah, he's the part of us. He was also, let's say, like coached by Lee, and Lee is passing to him everything that he knows. So that's also what makes Ghani a bit more efficient in everything that he is doing. And you know that right now he's doing 30 full Ironmans in 30 yeah. days, which is just beyond my imagination. But yeah, that's what helps him as well.
That is great. And according to you, Tatiana, what are some of the key skills characteristics that make up for a great coach?
You know, first of all, I would say that let's say that every person needs a coach. Like, honestly, before I started with Lee, I also thought, why would I need a coach? I know how to run, right? I can run, I can do it on my own. But if you want to improve yourself, and that's probably the reason why I started with Lee, because I didn't have any improvements. So I came to him and I was like, listen, I hit the wall. I'm not improving. I'm not, thanks God, nothing going down, but I want to move on. I want to become better. And that's why you need a coach. Secondly, again, you know, you need a coach. You need the person who will tell you, don't do that, recover. Yeah. And that's one of the main things also, like why you need a coach, because if I didn't have a coach, I would probably already running another 100K, I would kill myself and I will be out forever from running, right? And since that's my a part of my life, then stopping running is not even an option for me, right? But okay, what makes Lee a really, really great coach is, first of all, because he doesn't work online. You know, these days you can easily get 5K marathon,
yeah,
whatever, like marathon online plans.
Training apps also, yeah.
Yeah, you have the apps and everything. You have coaches who work online, who never even, you know, saw you in person. He is there for us. Yeah. He watches me every single session. So usually we have like 4 sessions per week and 2 more runs during the weekend. 1 or 2, depends. But he is always out there. He is watching my every move. He is recording me in slow motion so that he could tell me what is wrong, what is right. So this person sees me every single day. And his main job is to make me a better runner. So, and that's what he's doing. And so far, he's doing better than anybody could do, right? I know that, for example, there are also many coaches. I think I'm losing the, what makes him a great coach as well is that he's full-time coach.
Yes.
He's not athlete. Like, he told me once this kind of thing. And again, this is something that people, I think, would be nice for people to hear and to think about. Like, if you want to, I don't know, become, let's say, a runner, and you, who will you go to Kipchoge to train you? Or to Kipchoge's coach who trains Kipchoge, right?
That is a brilliant coach. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's amazing because, yeah, everybody knows who Kipchoge is. Yeah, he might be a great runner, but Kipchoge also has the coach. The coach who writes him a program, the coach who makes him Kipchoge. So yes. Everybody knows Kipchoge. Because honestly, do you know who Kipchoge's coach is? We don't know his name,
yeah,
right?
Correct, yeah.
He's like the person behind the scenes. But yeah, that's the person who made one of the greatest runners. That's what Lee is doing. Lee's job, and that's the motto of the whole LK Performance, make better runners. He's not racing himself. He is not participating in races. He wakes up every morning, he comes to the session, and his job is to make us better than we were yesterday. And that's what makes him the best one.
That is absolutely correct. And I do follow him on Instagram, and in every story, he does provide a technical explanation on what needs to be done, why it needs to be done. So I definitely religiously follow him as well. Now, keeping coach things in mind, what are your plans of becoming a coach, or are you currently training or coaching anyone?
I'm not currently coaching anyone in training because, again, for the same reason that I said, I'm still full-time athlete.
Yeah.
And I will not be coaching anyone until I decide to stop my running career at the competitive level, let's say. Because, you know, when you're a full-time athlete, when you need to focus on your training, your recovery, how will you find time to train others? And, you know, another thing is when you're still competing, are you willing to bring your competitors up to your level?
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't.
100%.
So, like, no, I'm not going to train at the moment to coach anyone. In the future, why not? Maybe, But that's, again, that's going to be a very long, long future, hopefully, because still I hope I'll still have a couple of tens of years to train. But yeah, for the moment, if anybody wants to train, I'll just say you go to Lee, because what he's doing is amazing.
And what are your thoughts about the Barkley Marathon? Have you heard or seen the Barkley Marathon by any chance?
That's the one where people just running the same loops for God knows how many hours.
Yeah, and that race, Barkley Marathon, is kind of considered as one of the toughest races. But I definitely would love to see you there someday.
And right, you'll be one.
Because one of the logo of that is where dreams come to die. So, you know, the organizer, he actually takes pleasure in seeing people, you know, completely quit. So what are your thoughts maybe in the near future? Maybe you can give it a try.
Never say never.
Absolutely. Now, lately, you know, Tatiana, there's a lot of hype regarding hybrid fitness and High Rocks events. Now, what are your thoughts about hybrid fitness? And what I've noticed is a lot of the guys who used to do, let's say, trail running, who are into obstacle course race, they have kind of stopped doing that and they've directly jumped into hybrid fitness. And 3 weeks ago, I did have kind of like a group session with them. And they were saying that, you know, they are no longer keen on doing OCR. They're focusing more on hybrid fitness. What are your thoughts about hybrid fitness?
I'll let them go. They will do the fitness for us.
That is absolutely great. Because,
jokes apart, I think it's also good. You know, any new kind of thing that that somebody creates in the sport world, and if it attracts people, if it, you know, makes people better, make them move, make them train harder, that's really good. And I'm happy if something new comes up, because yeah, maybe, you know, like some people are already tired of facing the same obstacles at the Spartan race, so they want something new, you know, some new emotions, some new feelings, some new, I don't know, whatever they're looking for in those races, some new challenges. Yeah, so it's really good that these events are happening. I haven't participated in any of them yet, because simply I think it's more of like a CrossFit thing.
Yeah.
But again, why not? I watched some videos of High Rocks happening when August. I think it was in August.
Yeah,
in Portrait Center. It's interesting. I wouldn't mind trying it one day. Like, never say never. But yeah, I'm happy that things like that happen, and there are lots of people who are interested in that, and they're training for that, and there are programs for that, and there are special gyms for that. So again, as long as somebody creates something new that involves people, that makes people get up from couches, please, let's bring more stuff like that to the world.
That's absolutely fabulous. Now, I do have two non-fitness questions, but before that, sleep. How important do you think sleep is, especially when you're doing ultra events and the competition that you're competing in? How important do you think an 8 to 10 hour sleep is? And do you have any tips or suggestions for people for better sleep? Because one thing which I'm severely lacking in is a proper 8 to 10 hours worth of sleep.
You know, if someone tells me how to sleep 8-10 hours, I would like to hear that advice as well. because, you know, sometimes I just feel that like there's not enough of hours in a day for all the things that I want to do. And, you know, I can't waste my time sleeping. But yeah, honestly, like, again, jokes apart, sleeping, unfortunately, is very, very important, because, you know, I'm the worst person to ask about sleeping, because usually I sleep even less than 6 hours. I'm very guilty. And because honestly, I'm a night owl. I can't function in the morning. I need to go to bed at around midnight or past the midnight. And that's one of the reasons why I hate mornings, because I have to wake up at 5 to go for a cadence run or something else. So yeah, I would love to have more proper sleep. But again, I know how important sleep is. Because even if, let's say, on the weekend, I go to sleep a little bit earlier and then I have the early wake up and run in the desert, I'm totally different person, because, you know, the body had rest and the body can move again. So yeah, I would confirm that sleep is very, very important. It's one of the most crucial thing. Sometimes, you know, if your body started, instead of doing another workout, just go and sleep, because, I'm not a fitness expert, but right, like, let's say if you do a weight training, right, you're not getting muscles when you're working out. Your muscles are becoming stronger when you're sleeping, when you're recovering.
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah.
That is absolutely fabulous. Now, I have two non-fitness related questions. Now, I do know the answer for the first of that. What is your favorite music genre and why?
It's Latin American music.
And am I right in saying that you
Salsa,
were in a
reggaeton,
dance group as
disco.
well? You were in a dance group when you were growing up as well?
Yeah, I used to dance hip hop when I was at the university. Yeah, so I did a little bit of that. But yeah, no, now like I listen to all types of music. Like my playlist on my phone is the mixture of anything you can only think of. But my favorite one is Latin American.
And when you're running, Tatiana, do you listen to any music or podcasts, or do you not
During
listen to
races,
any?
no. So let's say like when I'm doing any kind of race, that's the moment where I don't listen to anything. Even like I think when I was doing Jordan last year, I had my headphones with me, but I never actually used them, simply because I had no time for that and I was concentrated more in my breathing and my thoughts and the race strategy. But let's say if I'm just doing cardio, like let's say on elliptical, or when I'm doing cycling, I can do that without music. Like I will not get onto my bicycle, the indoor one, I mean, without the music. But for the running, no. For running, I'm trying to do it without music.
That is absolutely fabulous. Now, if the second question that I want to ask is that, if you were to have, let's say, an obstacle course race, a trail event, endurance, or hybrid event under your name, what would you name it?
I would name it Red Panda Trail.
Red Panda Trail.
Yes.
That is a really interesting name.
Because recently, I don't know why, I started, on Instagram, when you press on the button that, gives you the post that might interest you, I started getting some pictures of red pandas, and they are so cute. So I don't know, like I told one of my friends then, I really like these pandas. They are more cuter than the normal pandas, and I would like to see them in the nature one day. So he sent me the link to, I think it's Red Panda Trekking or Hiking in Nepal. So yeah,
I see.
we can do the trail, Red Panda Trail Run in Nepal somewhere with lots of elevation, and maybe on checkpoints you'll have to feed pandas.
That'll be absolutely great. Thank you so very much, Tatiana, for doing this. Any final message do you have for our listeners?
Get yourself a coach, get enough of sleep, and enjoy what you're doing.
That is beautifully said, short and sweet. And what I'll do is, in the show notes below, I'll go ahead and mention all of your contact details. I'll go ahead and mention some of the accomplishment. And I do like some of the quotes that you mentioned as well. I'll go ahead and mention that as well. And I'll mention Lee Harris's information as well. So thank you so much, Tatiana, for doing this.
Thank you very much
Really,
for
really
inviting me. It
appreciate it.
was nice to share. I hope that what I was able to share will help someone to make their running journey better, interesting, and more exciting.
Absolutely, 100%. And I'm pretty much sure a lot of the elite athletes and age group athletes will definitely like to hear, your stance in the world of running, obstacle course race, and Spartan Ultra events as well. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you as well.